Welcome to the Law of Attraction Traction, Quantum Consciousness Connection and Creation with my mom, holistic psychotherapist Corinne Beerfeld. Corinne has worked in private practice for over 20 years and has witnessed miraculous recoveries treating those who've experienced trauma. Trauma stored in the body can subconsciously affect and determine our life experience. When unconscious, programs and traumas are accessed and released, negative core beliefs and maladaptive behaviors can be permanently reprogrammed. Dive deeper into the Law of Attraction and go beyond whatever is blocking you from the life you want with Corinne Beerfeld. The Law of Attraction Traction starts right now.
Wow. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Law of Attraction Traction. Corinne Beerfeld is the host of this incredible show. And the reason that this is different, and you're going to hear about it today, is because in her practice, everything she's done in working with people, anxiety, depression, PTSD, eating disorders, substance abuse, you name it, physical disease, pain, she helps people learn how to move beyond it. But one of the things she also does and does very, very well is she understands the law of attraction and what happens when we have no traction. And what I mean by have no traction, we have no traction on the law of attraction. And what that means is we do a bunch of things that basically do not work, right? And so today we're talking about that and so much more. One of the things that I know that I have a love-hate relationship with is this topic, the importance of boundaries and managing our energy. Wow. How big is this, right?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Yeah.
I'm so glad to see you today. I was just thinking, it seems like it's been a long time because I was sick last time, so we didn't get to do our show and I've missed talking to you. So I'm excited to be with you today and excited to be talking about this topic around how do we set clear boundaries.
Well, you know, let's talk about this for a minute because this is one of these things that pops up in our lives and we don't even know it's there. And what do I mean by that is we're so busy in our world, right? And we keep doing, and we don't understand when somebody inches up to a boundary and then inches on the boundary and then crosses the boundary line.
Right. Right. Yeah. And I'm excited to be talking about this topic, especially today, because I know we did our last show on relationships. And I had talked about how in my practice, especially when I'm doing couples work, when I work with people, I'm all about helping them take responsibility for their own feelings when something gets triggered in a relationship. And I was thinking after that, how important it is, though, to really emphasize that, like, taking responsibility for our feelings does not mean that we allow other people to abuse us or that we stay connected to people who are unhealthy in any way. So, as you were just saying, you know, as when it comes to setting boundaries, I like what you were saying about, so some people will kind of inch forward and then come up to the boundary and then cross right over it. And I don't, you know, I was kind of hoping today that we could talk in terms of, I think, you know, everybody is capable of violating boundaries, but not doing it out of a place maliciously. But there are some people that are more what I would consider to be toxic people that are like chronic boundary violators. Yeah. They cannot accept boundaries.
Yeah.
And those are the ones I kind of wanted to focus on more today, because I'm telling you, that has been one of my greatest life lessons. Boy, I will tell you what. Yeah. I've spent a lot of my life, you know, wanting to kind of be in that, like, be liked, and have had, you know, people pleasing issues. I don't know if you can relate to that at all, but that's been such a huge life lesson for me. Is what I've noticed is, like, you know, the more I've done my work and the healthier I have become, the clearer I've become with my boundaries. So, internal worth, self-worth, and having clear boundaries kind of goes together. And so one of the hardest things I've had to learn in my life is that I don't need to allow just everybody to be in my life that wants to be in my life. Or I have learned how to, at least if there are people that are unhealthy, that I can decide how much contact and how often I'm going to have contact. And if they're not healthy people, that I can keep it more limited.
Yeah. And, you know, I like that we're taking on this part of boundaries, because, you know, when it's the once in a blue moon boundary, that's so obvious, right? We get our eyes wide open, right? Because we feel it. We feel a level of pain on it, right?
Yeah.
But if it's people that are in our lives that are doing it all the time, it's almost as if we've either created a resistance for it, we've created an almost complacency for it, or we've created just, I just don't want to deal with it for it. And and it's harder, because once in a while, somebody will crush a boundary and you could say, hey, that right there, that is like, that's a no for me. But what do you do, Corinne, with people that are in your life that this is the way they operate? This is just them doing it. This is like them just breathing.
Yes, I know. Exactly. And there are people like that, that's kind of how they operate. You know, I will usually tell my clients that the healthier a person is, the more they tend to be self-reflective, want to do their own work, take responsibility. Like if they hurt someone else and they cause harm, they'll feel bad. They'll have empathy. They'll feel remorse. They'll try to correct the behavior. Yeah. Those are signs of somebody who's healthy, on a healthy path. But the opposite is also true. So the more unhealthy someone is, and I don't say that from a place of judgment, but just more like I look at it like the more wounded or traumatized or it's like somebody who's living very unconsciously, they tend to be the opposite. They don't self-reflect. They don't want to take responsibility for their behavior. If they're confronted about their behavior, oftentimes they'll turn it around. They'll blame the person that they've hurt. They more often tend to live like they see themselves as victims, in the victim mode. And so with someone like that, if you're asking, well, what do you do with somebody like that? Unfortunately, the answer is you can't change that person. And again, this has been like, God, such a hard lesson for me. What a big life lesson. Learning that you cannot change other people. All we can do is we become healthier. We can speak up in relationships. We can say, okay, this feels right for me. This doesn't feel right. Here's what I'd like from you. Or when this happened, you know, that it caused me pain or it hurt me, and have a conversation about it. If you're dealing with a healthy person, then in a healthy relationship, hopefully the response would be, my God, my intention was not to cause you harm. Let me change my behavior. If you're dealing with someone who is more toxic and, well, you know, in psychology, there's this whole thing where they talk about like personality disorders. So there's mood disorders, which are treatable, anxiety, depression, PTSD, that kind of, and then you get the personality disorders, which are much more difficult to treat. And they are much, the people with personality disorders are much more difficult to be in relationship with, because they tend to create a lot of chaos, a lot of drama, a lot of pain. So when you set a boundary with someone like that, oftentimes the boundary is not going to be honored. Actually, sometimes with someone who's personality disorder, they just look at it as a challenge to see if they can stomp on you even harder. So the answer with someone like that is you don't continue to engage with someone like that. And that can be a really, really hard thing to do. Especially if it's someone close, like if it's a family member or
if you're married to them.
Spouse.
I want to get back to what you said. I want to be clear, because you bring up a really good point. We're talking about personality disorders. We're not talking about differences like you would see in the Myers-Briggs. There are differences in personalities and you work around them. But I watched a couple I knew literally go to divorce court because one of them, and I can't mention which one because they may be listening, so I don't even want to call them out on that. But because one of them could not stop reaching over on the plate at the dinner and going in for a for like her food.
Yeah, like that led to a divorce.
But the reason I'm bringing it up is you would think it's a simple thing for somebody to stop.
Mm-hmm.
But this is somebody that does it so naturally and it's so offensive. So if you happen to get into a relationship where that is such an abusive form of boundary violation for a person, like some people are like, you don't touch my food. I am a Rottweiler. You do right. not touch my food. But that seems like a small thing. When you start to add these boundary things up, they're overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it can go beyond touching food. You know what I mean? I tend to work with people who have come from a lot of trauma, come from very difficult upbringings where there's been a lot of abuse. And sometimes the most difficult, and this happens a lot actually, because I do so much trauma work, is people become healthier. What happens is they start to really become aware of the level of dysfunction sometimes in the family of origin. Yeah. And then that can be really difficult because, you know, the healthier you become, another principle is the less willing you are to tolerate being around unhealthy behavior.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you don't have compassion for people that are, you know, in a more unconscious place, but you just don't want to be around it. Yeah. It just doesn't feel good. You want to be around people who are going to support you and uplift you. So I've seen over and over in my practice, and I've also seen because, you know, my training's in hypnotherapy. I used to do like these intensive retreats. We would go like three or four weekends a year for 5 days at a time. And I would sit in a group of about 30 therapists or so. And as we did our work, and we became healthier over and over, what would happen is we'd start to like evaluate the people in our lives and the relationships in our lives. And it was difficult because again, sometimes like when you're two unhealthy people together, they're not going to see the dysfunction. But if one person starts to grow and get healthier and work on themselves and the people around them are not, it becomes more and more difficult sometimes for the person who's doing the work to say, to continue just living unconsciously. They don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. One of my teachers in wellness, who I love more, he's like one of my best teachers, and I don't think he'll mind me saying his name. We just had a conversation with him last week. I haven't seen him for a while. His name's Michael Malone. Love him. He's been like such an angel in my life. He has always said that, you know, as I continue to grow and get healthy, then the people around me are either going to grow with me and become healthy with me, or they're going to get gone. And I'm okay with either one. So it's a high level statement. It's one thing to understand it cognitively. It's another thing to really put it into practice. So, you know, and I've struggled with that in my own life because I, you know, especially like with family members and things like that, it's hard. It can be such a hard thing to do, to disengage or detach from people that you love. But again, as you start to, you know, become healthier or keep growing, then it just becomes more and more important to want to be with people who are going to meet you at that level, and or who can see you above where you are, who are going to support you to help you rise up. Because otherwise, it's like, you know, like if somebody's drowning and you get in the water to try to save the drowning person, you're not going to save them. They're going to suck you down.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about law of attraction, the thing that's most important when we're trying to manifest new beautiful things in our lives is managing our internal state every day. And I don't think there's anything that influences our state. Like I can't think of any other factor that plays a bigger role in how we feel and in our emotional state on a daily basis than who we're engaging with, who we're in relationship with, who we're spending our time with, who we're talking to, who we're listening to. So, you know.
Well, and one of the things too I want to ask you about is, and let's just get right to this.
Yeah.
Is the fact that there are reasons that boundaries are so important. Let's talk about a few of the reasons. I gave an example of like obvious, right? The fork comes over, takes the food. But yeah. why is that so important to the person that has the food on the plane? When you find out why that's so important to her, what you realize is it triggered all sorts of unsafe things. Growing up in a family where there was not enough food on the table. I mean, there are like 1,000 reasons. And when you hear the story of what it triggers in her, and no matter what she says kindly to stop, it doesn't stop. Finally, the outburst of the restaurant outburst of how that got resolved, it boils up, and that's what it comes to. So imagine like one time in the restaurant with six people at a dinner, going to dinner, and the partner just can't stop going after the food. And I mean, it's obvious to everybody around. And she finally took the plate and just smeared it all over.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It was the last straw of a decade. Yeah. But the reason it's so important is it harms people at a deep emotional level.
Right.
And boundaries help people feel safe, don't they?
That's the purpose of a boundary, is we create safety for ourselves by setting boundaries with others. I would say that in that situation, if this woman had been with someone for a decade and had asked for a decade, please stop touching my food, and the partner continued to engage in a behavior that they knew was very harmful to me, that's what I'm talking about. That's somebody who's not going to honor a boundary.
Like, that's crazy.
That goes deeper. There's something wrong with the partner, clearly.
Clearly, there's something wrong. You know, we just saw this play out, Kareen, in our pop culture. We saw two people go at it in a harmful way. We saw Chris Rock say something he shouldn't have said. And then we saw the last straw for Will Smith. Both of them have consequences, but one of them had a severe consequence. Mm-hmm. And so when you don't feel safe, right? And when you're stuck, we have to know how to change it. How often have you watched your partner screaming matches? How often have you watched a couple of screaming matches?
Oh, well, not often in my practice, because I just say to people, you're not paying me enough. I'm not going to listen.
Oh, no, yeah, right. Exactly.
There's me setting a boundary. Get out.
But boy,
it doesn't happen.
They do want to go there. You have to admit.
Well, sometimes I've had people try to escalate, and then I will, in a calm way, say, look, no, that's not what we're doing in here. You could scream at each other at home. You don't need to come and sit here and, you know, pay me to do that. So if you want to now, and that's setting a boundary, here's what we're going to do. If you want to stay and we can, you know, try to see if we can resolve this, then we're going to talk to each other respectfully. That's a clear boundary. And I think pretty much every time, maybe one time I had somebody go that they weren't willing to, and they got up and left, and I was okay with that, you know, because it wouldn't have been productive anyway to have them stay.
But there's a process. And let's talk about what you can do if this person is in your life. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've worked for some people that bosses can be bullies. Bullying at work is prevalent. So you have to decide for yourself, right? You know, talk about, you know, unhealthy somebody is, right? Mm-hmm. And what we can do about it. But there are just some situations where the only thing you could do is adjust on the inside. There are jobs you're not going to be able to leave. So you have to do something else. It's a hard lesson.
I think that's a great question. You're so right, too, especially like in a situation where if you work for a difficult boss or a toxic boss, or there's a toxic employee, it only takes one in an environment to like really create a toxic environment for everybody. You get one person like that. Okay. So to take this to some of the principles that we have talked about before, on the law of attraction, I do tend to say to people, like if somebody comes in, for example, and they're dealing with a toxic boss, and I've had plenty of that, those type of situations come up over the 20 years I've been in practice, I will have a conversation with them. And this is, you know, again, a lot of times people don't want to hear this, but it sort of goes back to what I was saying about relationships in the last show, where I don't believe it's a coincidence, the people that show up in our life, that and this is a law of attraction principle, that we tend to attract in some way people that will reflect back to us where we're wounded. And it usually has to do with family of origin stuff. So if somebody grew up with like an abusive mother or abusive father, it's not uncommon at all that they could end up in a work situation where they are experiencing an abusive boss and to tolerate it. So what will happen is like, let's say that they come in and they're experiencing a lot of emotional anguish around that, understandably. What I tend to do is, first of all, we can talk about like the practical things that they can do in the work environment, just in the short run, to set boundaries. So that would be like, okay, you want to be non-reactive, because toxic people like it when if they can get a rise out of you, or they can get a reaction that actually fuels them. So like, it's the opposite of what a normal, like somebody who's not disordered doesn't want to hurt other people, but somebody who is, they actually enjoy it, or they can, it makes them feel significant. So, you know, we'll talk on a practical level about how can you stay calm? How can you not react in the moment? You know, how can you take your time, think it through, take deep breaths, respond briefly, and then remove yourself. But at the same time, as I'm, you know, we're working at that level, then I will also be doing work with the person around family of origin stuff, because inevitably they ended up in a healthy person with really clear boundaries who ends up in a work environment with a toxic boss would just be like, I'm out of here. I don't care. Like, I'll find someplace else to work. So somebody who's there and working and is suffering, what I will do is help them do family of origin work until they begin to feel safer within themselves. And what will usually end up happening is either they get fired or a better job comes along. Like, once they've cleared within themselves, you know, and got the lessons that they need to get, it just naturally unfolds that, you know, as within, so without. You clean up what's within, and then what's happening externally naturally shifts. I've been fired for more than one job. I'm not proud to say it, but in hindsight, I'm like, every time it was like a blessing in disguise. Thank you, God. You know,
yeah. I've been fired from every job I've had.
Every.
So let's just get that out on the table.
But I look back and I'm like, boy, and I had some doozy bosses. You know.
Well, and I can pinpoint as to every single one of them what was mine to own and what was not. And what I've learned about it, I tend to stay too long. See, that's a boundary. See, I know when somehow, some way, a boundary of mine has been crossed or violated.
Yes.
And even with that, we don't take action. See, I think that's part of the problem too.
Yeah.
If you know something is happening and you don't give the feedback right away, 3 years later for you to be like, you know, you've been doing it for 3 years. That just doesn't work. Right.
I think what you said, that's such an important point. So, because our bodies will tell us right away if something doesn't feel right. So if someone crosses a boundary, immediately we'll feel it in our body. Like, it might, you know, our stomach might constrict, or we'll feel it in our chest. And then again, usually if we've been brought up in environments where we had our boundaries violated over and over, we disregard what our bodies are saying to us, because we're, you know, like internally wired. We know what feels right and what doesn't. We'll disregard it, we'll override it, and we'll stay and tolerate it until we do the work to become healthy enough to where we're not willing to tolerate it anymore. Yeah. It's just how it works.
It is a process. I mean, you know, before we get too far here, you work with people on a wide range of items and issues around this. And I mean, this is your body of work. This is what you're passionate about, to help people heal, you know,
totally
to help them see, right?
Yes.
What they don't see. Boundaries is one of those things that is not always obvious. Can you let folks know, one, how they can find out more about you? And there's a lot of information that if they need to contact you, they can do that. Tell them how to do that best.
Sure. So my website is my name, which is KorenBierfeldt.com, KorenBierfeldt.com. And there's on my website, there's information on how to contact me and about my practice. And What was the other part of your question?
Yeah. And then if people want to work with you, they can just call you and, yes, you know, mm-hmm, schedule time to do that and all of the above. I wanted to save a few minutes at the end to talk about what we started out with. Protecting our boundaries is essential to protecting our energy. And that is something we don't think about that often. But yet when we know that a boundary has been either stepped on or approached or violated, boy, we know how that feels, don't we?
Absolutely. Yes. Right. And that's the whole point when I, you know, was thinking about, okay, what is it when we're talking about law of attraction, learning how to be able to be clear about what feels right and doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
And to set boundaries with people who don't make us feel good so that we can stay in a state that lifts us up. We want to be around people who are going to support us and love us, not people who are going to pull us down.
Yeah. Yeah. And learning healthy boundaries is also another pathway to freedom, isn't it?
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you said it earlier, and thank you for pointing out, it may not be the easiest thing to do, but boy, it's one of the most freeing things to do, isn't it?
I think it's one of the most important things to do. And I, you know, mm-hmm, I read a lot of books on people who are successful, and they all say that who they surround themselves with. Oh, Oprah talked about this too. She's like, when I got this, that who I surround myself with, that was key. That was the key to her success.
Thanks for joining the Law of Attraction Traction with host my mom, Karine Burfo. Tune in every third Tuesday of the month at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio and learn how you can heal from the traumas and conditions you thought were impossible. Get inspired to pursue your own healing and growth so that your light shines brighter than ever. To learn more about Karine and her and the services she provides as holistic psychotherapist, visit her website at karinebierfeldt.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.